Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. And as I've said to you before, I hope it is real food. I don't know that I can give you steak, but I can give you food that will strengthen your life and lead you closer to God. It's God's word. It's not mine. It's God's word. So let's come before him under the patronage of St. Callistus. And who you say is St. Callistus? Well, what we know of his papacy is telling, for it comes to us from the Roman priest Hippolytus, his severe critic. Hippolytus opposed Callistus for his unwillingness to excommunicate grave sinners who sought to confess and do penance. In defiance, Hippolytus assumed papal privileges for himself, becoming the first antipope. Callistus' faithful witness was crowned with martyrdom in the year 222. Hippolytus later repented and was a martyr around the year 236 and is now a saint. So we're looking at St. Callistus. And the first reading is taken from St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 to 30. Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You wouldn't be here if you weren't believing in some level. God wants to strengthen that in you. For there is no distinction. All have sinned. We're all are guilty of sin and are deprived of the glory of God. But they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood to prove his righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed through the forbearance of God to prove his righteousness in the present time that he might be righteous and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. And then he goes on to say, what occasion is there for boasting? It's ruled out. On what principle? That of works? No, rather on the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Does God belong to Jews alone? Does he not belong to Gentiles too? Yes, also to Gentiles, for God is one and will justify the circumcised on the basis of faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So the question has to come to us, how deep is your faith? How much do you believe? I remember some years ago of praying every day that the Lord would increase my faith, because I had always said yes to what the church taught. But then I began to think, is this right? Is this what I should be doing? Or am I just following the crowd, so to speak? And I said to the Lord, Lord, strengthen my faith. And I went back over all the things that I have said I believed. I thought about them and I knew that I did, and God's grace was there. I've never turned around since then, and that was years ago. Brothers and sisters, take a look at the level of your faith. How strong is it? Turn to the scriptures. Because that word is not just reading a book. That word contains the word of God, which is living and active. You can say it with me. And living, active, and sharp as any two-edged sword. This word has power to change us, to heal us, to strengthen us. Brothers and sisters, draw near to him. Draw near to his word. It's a living word. It's not just words on a page that you say, oh my, well, that's kind of nice. If God's saying it to you, which he does through his word, pay attention. That's important. And with the Lord, there is mercy and fullness of redemption, no matter what we've done wrong. The psalm today, Psalm 130, tells us, with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. My soul waits for the Lord more than sentinels wait for the dawn. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. We can all make mistakes. We can all wonder what the Word of God means. There is so much on television now that you could pull up. You could pull up a book of Scripture and read it, ponder it. God loves you, and he's making it more and more accessible for us. We have a ways to go, but it's there. God is good. Please, you know, I began to really think about when I heard the words, the word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can protect, it can destroy, it can fill you with the truth, it can give you strength and courage to follow. This word is not like any other word we read. It looks like it is, but it isn't. It's to take into your heart and your soul and let God grow, in a sense, grow it inside you till it becomes strong. To become a man or a woman of peace, of love, of justice, of kindness, of mercy, of truthfulness. My goodness, brothers and sisters, there's so much of himself that God wants to give to us. But he gave us a free will, always. And so I say to the Lord sometimes, Lord, I really do need your help in this area or that area. And I probably should just say every day, Lord, I need your help to get through today. And that would be the truth. I think I'll put that in my prayer. But I just want you to know that the Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can change your life. It can change mine. It can change all of us together. Let us read his word carefully and ask God to draw us closer and closer to him. In the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 11, verses 47 to 54, the Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter." When Jesus left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say. Here God became man for you and for me. That's not something long ago. That's right now. God gives himself to us. He gives it to us in our souls, in our hearts. He gives himself to us, our minds, where we're having difficulty. Lord, please take these thoughts out of my mind, or please help me, Lord, to think rightly about this. When I'm in a turmoil for something, I always ask the Lord, Lord, just please bring peace to my soul right now so that I can think clearly, not out of my anger or out of my fear, but peacefully. And then I ask the Lord, Lord, just help me. Help me know what to do. And so for me, oftentimes what I've done is I tell them what they've done wrong and what I think they need to change, because I love them and I want them with me in heaven. But we're all sinners. It's part of all of us, every bit of us. Brothers and sisters, let's really turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to do this. If this is the faith you too desire, then you should first of all acquire a thorough knowledge of the Father. This is from the epistle to Diognetus. He was one of the early Christian apologetics, likely from the second century. He says, if this is the faith you too desire, then you should first of all acquire a thorough knowledge of the Father. The fact is, God loved men, and it was for their sake that he made the world. At their service, he placed everything on earth. To them he gave reason and intelligence. Them alone he endowed with the ability to look up at him. There he formed him after his own image. To them he sent his only begotten Son. To them he promised the kingdom of heaven, and this he will give to those that love him. And when you have acquired this knowledge, with what joy do you think you will be filled? Oh, how intensely will you love him who first loved you so. And once you love him, you will be an imitator of his kindness. And you must not be surprised that man can become an imitator of God. He can. He wills it so. Brothers and sisters, don't move. Don't turn away from this now and say, oh, well, I'm too sinful. No, no. God will wipe away every sin you have as you bring them into confession. And I've even a couple of times said, Lord, I know there's more I've done, and I'm just sorry for it all because I couldn't remember what it was. That's all right. Just say that, because God knows. Brothers and sisters, he loves us, and he wants us with him for all eternity. Please, brothers and sisters, turn your hearts to him. Ask God. Ask God, please, Lord, in your love and in your mercy, come and help me. Come and show me the way. And I encourage you to read the scriptures of every day, the mass readings. Read them slowly. What you have questions about, write down. But brothers and sisters, please, the Word of God is living and active. Remember this, sharper than any two-edged sword. God loves you, and his Word has power to change your life, and he wants it to. May God abundantly care for you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.